Good morning, Harvest.
Good morning.
How are you? Good. It's so good to see you on this beautiful summer day. If those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Karen. Thanks, Pastor. Aw. I love you, church, so much. I get the privilege of being on staff here, so it is the best job ever, and I just love you all so very much, and I get to speak to you today, continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about patience, but I want to remind you, before we get into about our summer step-out challenge, who has done a summer step-out so far? Okay, some hands, awesome. Yeah, we want to encourage you to just connect with somebody. We have some phrases we've been using, like, awkward is better than alone. Awkward is better than alone. Right? It's awkward sometimes to be like, hello, we don't know each other, but my name is, do you want to go grab coffee and talk about Jesus? But it's better than being alone, so much better than being alone. And on some of our graphics and stuff, we've kind of given you three questions to ask. And for me, when I get together with someone new, my favorite thing to do is just ask them questions. For those of you who don't like talking a whole lot, just ask questions that starts to get the other person to talk, and then you're set. You just listen, and it's great. But a great question, just start off and say, how are you doing? And it's a very simple question, but you know whenever you're like passing someone in the grocery store or you're just walking, you're like, hey, how's it going? And you kind of, it's kind of this like greeting. But what about when you just sit with someone, you're like, how are you doing, really? And when you have time to get to know somebody and know their story and actually ask how they're doing, it's powerful. And some other questions we encourage you to ask is like, ask them, what is Jesus saying to you right now? What are you learning in this series at church? And when you talk about, okay, this is what Jesus is saying to you, the third question to ask is, so what are you doing about what Jesus is saying to you? Just really simple, powerful questions to just stir connection in our community. So I encourage you and challenge you before the summer is over, find someone, maybe somebody that you do know pretty well already, just get together with them, or somebody totally brand new. It's scary, but awkward is better than alone. And so as you know, and as you would have seen, we're in a series called Fruit of the Spirit. We've had a number of weeks so far. Pastor Roy kicked it off with the fruit of love and also really teed up the series and talked about how we can live in the tree of life or the tree of knowledge, trying and striving and doing our best, but how we need to just live with the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in us. And it's so much less about what we can try to rustle up and do. And it's all about just, I love what he said, snuggling up with Jesus and just getting close to him. And when we do that, when we allow him to do things in us, the fruit will naturally come out of our lives. And there's a key verse we've been coming back to in John 15:4-5 that I want to read. And I've been loving the Amplified version. So here's the Amplified with just some extra words in it. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me, get close to me, snuggle up to me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, trying to do it all on your own, when you're cut off from vital union with Jesus, you can do nothing. And then Mia shared on joy, and that joy is our strength. Do you remember this? If you've missed any of these, go back and listen to them. And then Ryan spoke last week, such a powerful message on peace is not the absence of something, but rather the presence of a person. And so today we're going to continue, and we're talking about the fruit of patience. Who is excited to learn about patience? before we get into it, why don't we read our main verse from Galatians 5:22-23. I love Ryan had us all read this, read it together. So let's do that again today. So say it with me. Ready? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of getting to come into your house, be with your people, God, be in your presence. God, you are so good. And God, we just thank you that as you are teaching us, God, as we just stay close to you, you do so much in our lives, God, and you produce so much fruit. God, you want us to bear so much fruit. And so, God, I pray that you just bless the message today, God. Just use my words powerfully, the way that only you can do, Jesus. And I pray that there be revelation and transformation in the room today. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. So, in 2011, 18-year-old Karen had a timeline in mind for some things in her life. And one of those items on her little list was to get married, specifically by the age of 21. So, I'm like praying, talking to Jesus. I'm like, okay, Jesus, this is the rough sketch. I trust you, but you know, this is the timeline. This is how I would like it to go. So by 21, Jesus, we'll get married. Well, 21 comes and goes, and I'm not married. There's no prospects. So I'm like, okay, Jesus, we'll just switch the prayer up a little bit. How about by age 25? We'll just, you know, we'll extend it a little bit. It's fine. We'll switch the timeline. And then got to age 25. No man, no ring on my hand. And throughout the journey of singleness, which was at the time much longer than I wanted it to be, I got some awesome advice from our incredible pastor, Roy Stevenson. And I want to tell you about the conversation we had that went something like this. He said, hey, Karen, the desire to get married is really good. Like, that's a great desire to have. But you can walk out this journey of waiting two ways. One way is you walk around with this hole in your heart, this desire that you have that's unfulfilled. So you're unsatisfied, you're a little maybe lonely, and you can just navigate life just carrying this around until somebody comes. You can walk around with that giant hole, but you'll be walking around, carrying around, giving out a sense of loneliness, a sense of discontentment. Or, he said, you could fill that space in your mind, in your heart, every nook and cranny with the presence of Jesus. And you could fill that space, that thing that you're waiting for, that is good, but instead of just like waiting and pining, what if you said, hey, Jesus, come fill that whole space and I'll make you the focus instead of the thing that I'm waiting for, the focus. And that was really powerful, and that image was really powerful. And I want to present to you today and ask you the question, what are you waiting for? And is it a giant gaping hole in your heart that everybody kind of gets a sense of whenever you're walking around? Because what if you just filled that whole space with Jesus? You know, maybe you're waiting for provision, a job, position. Maybe you're waiting to have kids. Maybe you're waiting for healing. And what if instead of striving and just waiting and pining for provision or children or healing, what if you filled that whole space with the provider and the healer whose name is Jesus? And so, to finish my story, many of you actually were in this very room about 2 months ago when I got married. Hallelujah. To my incredible husband who is in kids ministry right now, serving the kids. And it was the best day ever, and I am so happy. But there was a 10-year gap from 21 to I actually got married at 31. There was this whole space of time. And it wasn't my timeline, but it was God's perfect timing. And I wouldn't change anything about the journey. And of course, I'm not saying that like I did everything super perfectly. I never complained, never had a bad day. But I look back at those 10 years of being like, oh God, you did so much in me while I was waiting. I learned to be patient. Where can you learn to be patient today? So today I want to talk to you about patience, obviously, and kind of the first chunk of the message is going to be what patience is, and the second chunk is going to be how do we live this out. And so first, kind of the definition. So what is patience? And the Greek word means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, patient in trial, long suffering. Well, I don't like that one very much. Long suffering. Another couple other definitions that I found were the ability to wait without becoming hasty or impetuous. And patience isn't just waiting. Patience is waiting well. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces," here's the word, "perseverance. Let perseverance, let the waiting finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And although we don't like waiting, and although we don't like having to be patient, patience is actually our pathway to maturity. If you want to be mature, if you want to be complete in Christ, not lacking anything, be willing to be patient. So number one, talking about what patience is waiting for God, waiting for God. And Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." And then Isaiah 30, verse 18, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Blessed are those who wait for him. We need to learn to let go of our timeline the way I slowly but surely learned to let go of my timeline and go, "Jesus, your timing is way better." And just learn to trust him. There's a great quote from Charles Spurgeon that says this: "If the Lord makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are all they that wait for him. He is worth waiting for." The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. Oh, he is worth the waiting. The waiting itself is beneficial for us. And another thing that I think we learn in waiting and in being patient is something that I learned, which is like we kind of know this sometimes in our head, but it gets outworked in us when we actually have to practice it. It's like I knew that getting married wouldn't like fulfill every single desire of my being. And although he is like the greatest gift to my life, my husband still does not satisfy the deepest need in my soul. Only Jesus can do that. So again, if you are waiting for something, even when you get that thing, it's not going to satisfy this gap in your heart. And I love when Mia talked about joy. She was like, joy isn't out there somewhere in the next experience or the next purchase. It is right here. You have everything you need in Jesus. So patience is waiting for God. Number two, oh, are you ready? Patience is enduring through trials. Enduring through trials. I'm going to read some verses in Hebrews 10. They're so good. Again, I'm all about the Amplified right now. It says, "But remember the earlier days when, after being spiritually enlightened, you patiently endured a great conflict of sufferings, sometimes by being made a spectacle, publicly exposed to insults and distress, and sometimes becoming companions with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy and deep concern for those who were imprisoned, and you joyfully accepted the unjust seizure of your belongings and the confiscation of your property, conscious of the fact that you have a better possession and a lasting one prepared for you in heaven. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising. I'm going to read verse 36 again. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. Oh, there is so much in here. Another beautiful verse is Romans 12:12. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Patience is our pathway to maturity. There's a story in the Bible and this amazing man in the Bible that really helped portray a lot of these things and being patient and endurance. So I'm just going to summarize the story for you, but it's Joseph. The story is all throughout Genesis if you want to read it on your own. But Joseph was a favorite kid of his father. And so he wears this coat of many colors. So he's favored by his dad. And this teenager, he's got all these dreams in his heart. In fact, he's dreamed at night. He's like, man, I think God's going to do like really awesome things with my life. But he has 11 brothers who all start to despise him for a number of reasons. So he's favored by his dad, but his brothers hate him. And there's this day he goes out into the field to meet his brothers, and his brothers grab him and throw him in a pit with the intent to kill him. This is how much they hated him. And so can you imagine Joseph? He's like been this favorite kid, and now he's like, I'm gonna die at the hands of my brothers. So he's in the pit, but then they pull him out of the pit, and instead of killing him, they sell him into slavery. Now he is a slave, like the lowest of the low. They take him to Egypt. He gets hired or bought by Potiphar, and now he's working at Potiphar's house. And so this teenager who had all these dreams could have processed all of this with an attitude that's like, well, I guess this is my life and it kind of sucks and it's just going downhill. But the Bible talks about how the Lord favored him. And as he was a slave and he's working for Potiphar's house, he actually works through the ranks and he starts running Potiphar's house. So this man keeps his work ethic. And even though he's like had these dreams, been rejected and abused by his brothers, he's patient in all of it. He's patient in the pit. He's patient in the pain of rejection from his brothers. And so now he's like working this guy's house. But then another problem comes up. Potiphar's wife is like, wants to sleep with him. And Joseph is like, whoa, no way. That's absolutely wrong. Like, you're my master's wife. No. But then Potiphar's wife makes this huge scene and accuses Joseph of doing what she did. So Potiphar finds out and throws Joseph into prison. Now he's in prison. And again, if anybody could be discouraged on their journey of life when they've had dreams at one point, and it's like something after something after something else, but yet he's still patient in the process. He's still patient in the pain. And so he's in prison, and it turns out that he meets up with the cupbearer and baker of the king of Egypt. So he's in prison. And while he's in prison, somehow, I don't even know how this works, but while he is in prison, he has behaved so well that he becomes like the supervisor of the prisoners. So yet again, he could have had the worst attitude, right? But he's patient. He's like, I don't know, this is just the way God is orchestrating things, and I'm just going to work my hardest. I'm going to do my best right where I am. And so he talks with these two guys that are put in prison by Pharaoh, and he interprets their dreams. Long story short, one of them dies and one of them is reinstated. And so Joseph says to the ones that is reinstated, hey, when you go back to Pharaoh, just let him know that like I'm here and I can work for him and I can do things. But the guy goes back and forgets about Joseph for 2 years. Another 2 years, Joseph is in prison. Again, he was a teenager, favored by his dad. Now he's been rejected by his brothers. He was a slave. He's wrongly accused. If anyone could be impatient, I feel like it could be him. But yet he's just faithful. He endures the trial. And then finally, Pharaoh has dreams, and Joseph is brought up to interpret the king of Egypt's dreams. And he does such a good job. Turns out the king of Egypt hires him, basically puts him in charge of everything. Wow. So he's been patient through all this, but now he's patient in promotion as well. And then he's organizing all of this stuff. Egypt is going through like famine and harvesting, and he's orchestrating it all, taking care of the people. People are coming in and out to buy food and everything that they need. And then in come these 10 guys, and he goes, "Those are my brothers." And the brothers don't recognize him at first, but he encounters the people who first rejected him, who didn't believe in him. And he's operating in the dreams that he once saw. And he's still patient in reconciling with them. If anyone could have been mad at their brothers and like taken them out, but he actually forgives them and embraces them and builds back relationship with them. Joseph is such a good example of someone who is patient and enduring through trials. And I love the verse kind of at the end of the story in Genesis 50, verse 20. It says, Joseph is talking to his brothers. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." As we learn patience, as we endure through trials, let this be said of us, or let us be able to say this in every circumstance, that man, whatever happened was intended to harm me, but God has used it for good. And what a testimony that will be to the world. Number three, patience is forgiving each other. Just the way that Joseph forgave his brothers. It says in Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Forgive as the Lord forgave you. If you think about what Jesus has done for us, it is so massive. Of course we can forgive others. Here's another lovely quote from Mother Teresa. It says, "People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway." You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. Patience is forgiving each other. So now we're going to shift a little bit and talk about walking out patience, living out patience. And the main way to do that is to lock eyes with your Savior. Lock eyes with your Savior. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 says, "Let us run with perseverance." There's that word again. "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." This is the way to do it. Getting close to him, looking straight at him. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So number one, focus on who Jesus is. It says in Hebrews 10:23, "He who promised is faithful." He is so faithful. Another verse in Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in compassion and loving kindness." I want to tell you a story about something called an Ebenezer. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel the prophet is overseeing all the Israelites. And the Israelites have kind of gone off the rails. They're worshiping foreign gods, doing things they're not supposed to do. So Samuel says, "Hey guys, stop what you're doing. We got to repent. We got to turn a different way. We got to get with Jesus." And they're like, "Oh man, you're so right. We absolutely need to." So they are in the middle of praying and throwing out foreign gods. And they are like in this reconciliation zone with Jesus. And then I just imagine, I'm making this part of the story up, but somebody like runs into the camp and is like, "Guys, the Philistine army, our enemies, is like right over the hill and they are coming to kill us." So they're all freaking out. They go back to Samuel. They're like, "Samuel, we're doing this important thing, but like the Philistines are about to come, wipe us out. What do we do?" And Samuel says, "Don't worry about it. trust Jesus, keep praying. He's going to come through for us. And I love these stories in the Bible where it just like says something and you're like, what did that look like? Because in this story, it says that the Lord thundered with a loud thunder and routed the Philistines. And you're like, what? What was that like? But God comes in the picture and absolutely like confuses the Philistine army so that the Israelites can defeat them. So after all this happens, Samuel sets up this stone, this Ebenezer, to say that at this point in time, at this point in our journey, the Lord has been faithful and he has helped us. So an Ebenezer kind of means like a stone of help. And I love that there's a lot of moments in the Old Testament where they'd like set up an altar, set up a stone, a marker that says, at this point, Jesus came through for me. At this point, he was faithful. And it's kind of like as a kid, when I would go to my extended family, we'd take the highway and we would always pass the Big Apple. Does anyone know the Big Apple, where like the pies are and stuff? And so when we passed that, it was like, there's only half an hour more to go. Woohoo! So we always knew that marker. I want to encourage you to set up markers in your spiritual life, an Ebenezer, that you can look back and go, oh, at that point, Jesus helped me. And at that point, Jesus did something, and he's been so faithful and so kind. Number two, focus on what Jesus has said. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. In his word I put my hope. Man, the Bible is so important. And whatever you are going through today, can you attach a scripture to it? I know for me, there's been just like a whole bunch of different situations. A couple weeks ago, my cousin passed away and my sister-in-law lost an uncle recently. And so there's been just kind of these like, yeah, like funerals or celebration of life and just these real life things. And so as you're in like that mourning process, a verse that has kept coming to mind is like, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. That has so ministered to me. And even in the face of like understanding death and grieving the loss, like Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. And so as I'm navigating just different seasons in life, these are scriptures that I'm like, I am hanging on to this, Jesus. What are you going through? And in order to have patience through, maybe you're going through a trial, you focus on what he said. Bring a Bible verse and stick it on your fridge, stick it on your mirror and be like, I'm hanging on to this in this season. Number three, focus on what Jesus has done. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't it encouraging when you have some kind of experience? Maybe it's something painful or unpleasant. I don't know, maybe you go to the dentist and you, I don't know, have a tooth pulled or something. And you're like, oh man, that was like painful. And someone else can go, I had that too. I know what that's like. Isn't that so wonderful when you're like, oh, you get it. You understand. Jesus understands everything we go through. And if ever you think that he is too big or far away from you and there's like, oh, Jesus, there's no way you get this. Of course he does. Of course he does. He endured. Think about what he endured going to the cross. False accusations, beatings, humiliation. Whatever you are going through today, think about what Jesus has done. Because he's finished the work. And we get to rest in that finished work that he has already accomplished for us. And if we focus on what he has done, it's like, okay, I can do this, Jesus, because you've already paved the path. You've already done it for me. I love the same scripture in Hebrews in the Message paraphrase. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lock eyes with the Savior. Snuggle up to him. keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, when you find yourself having a hard time being patient, go over the story of Jesus once again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Come on. So patience is waiting on God, waiting for him. Patience is enduring through trials, because you know what? We don't like trials. We don't like suffering. I do not enjoy it, but I have seen how it grows maturity in me. Patience is forgiving one another, because we've been forgiven so much. If we think about the cross and what he's forgiven us for, how can we not forgive others also? And how do we live out patience? We lock eyes with him. We focus on who he is, what he has said, and what he has done. Would you close your eyes with me? Just bow your heads. I want to just pray for you guys this morning. And I'm sure there's so many different stories and situations represented in the room and those watching online. So I just want to pray for you to lock eyes with your Savior, to receive everything that you need today, to endure the trial, to wait it out, to forgive. Man, forgiveness can be so hard at times. But when we look at the cross and when we consider our own lives, how much we have messed up, how much we have got it wrong. Jesus, if you can forgive me of all of that, not all my past only and not all my present only, but all my future as well. Oh, Jesus, of course I can forgive someone. And to focus in on who he is, even just in these few moments, just meditate on his goodness, meditate on his greatness. He's faithful. He's never left you alone. And focus on what he said. His word is rich with promises for you. And focus on what he has done. And so, Jesus, I just pray for your beautiful people today, God, again, in the room or online, Jesus. You see every single story. You see every single heart, God. And maybe those of us who have been carrying around this gap, this hole in our heart, like I talked about at the beginning, God, we choose today to fill it with you, to lock eyes with you, not the things that we want that won't satisfy anyway. God, we lock eyes with you, our Savior, the one who satisfies our souls and fills us with all we need. But God, I just pray a grace to endure through trials. We don't like the trials. We don't enjoy them. But God, you are with us in them. And you grow maturity in us. God, you put patience in us so that we can finish the race. And so God, I just pray grace over your people today. Peace over your people today. And while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I want to ask a question to anyone in the room who perhaps you have never made the decision to start following Jesus with your whole heart. I've mentioned a few times, like, thinking about what he has done. Maybe you've never fully understood that he died on the cross for you, that he did all of that for you. He wrote the Bible for you. He is who he is because he wants to love you, you personally, you and your story. And so if that's you today and you're like, man, I've never actually prayed a prayer or made a decision to consciously say, I'm giving my life to Jesus and I want to follow him. I want him to produce patience in me, but I need him in me first. And so if that's you today, we would love to just pray with you. And there's nothing special or magical about the words we pray. It's the decision in your heart. But what I'm going to have you do is, eyes are closed and to just make the decision and so that we know who we're praying for, that on the count of three, you're just going to raise your hand up and put it back down. And then we're just going to pray a prayer together. So if that's you today, maybe you're a little nervous. Maybe you're like, is this for me? Yes, it is for you. Whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online. If you want to receive Jesus today on the count of three, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Multiple hands in the room. And maybe there's someone online. Online, if you're making the decision today, just put in the comments, yes, that's me. I see your hand in the room. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. We love this. And so as a whole church family, we're going to pray this prayer together. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for enduring the cross to give me salvation. Today I declare you are Lord of my life. You alone satisfy me. I let go of my timeline and I trust your timing. I let go of control and I take your covering. Thank you, Jesus. I'm brand new in you today. Amen. Harvest, come on, can we congratulate these people? You have made the best decision ever. And hey, so if you raised your hand, one other thing we want to say is we want to get you a Bible. So on the back of your notes, there's like a little spot where you can tick the box and say, I prayed that prayer today. Just give that paper to somebody at the doors, one of our hosts, and they will get you a Bible today. We just want to make sure you have everything you need to start this incredible journey with Jesus. Harvest, would you stand? Come on, we're going to sing our way out of this service today.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, his bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, his bones will sing. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Father, we just say, Father, we thank you for timely words, for timely times in our lives, Father. I just thank you for this word from Karen this morning, how she demonstrated it so well. Father, I just pray as we leave this morning and go about our week, Father, you will protect every person in their health, Father, and just bring us back together as a body next week, Father, as the family. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for showing up, Father. We thank you for always being there in protection. And Jesus, we just pray this all in your name. Amen. God bless you, Harvest. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you back here next week.